Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Casey Keller and Stevie Nicol. We'll be talking about a crazy day in the Premier League a little later on, but let's start with more craziness. Bayer Leverkusen being crowned the Bundesliga champions after thrashing Werder Bremen by 5-0. Talk about upsetting the odds. Incredible from Xavi Alonso. Since he took over, he leads Bayer Leverkusen to their first ever Bundesliga title. They can't be caught now by defending champions Bayern Munich, who of course had won the last 11 titles. For more on this, let's welcome in Jan Ogger Fjortoff. We're here for Jan in a moment. But Casey, you've of course been covering the Bundesliga all season. Are you surprised how easy Bayer Leverkusen made this look?
I think we expected a little bit better of a fight from Bayern, from Dortmund, but at the same, and even Leipzig, but take nothing away the way that not only have they got the results, but the way they've gotten the results. Scoring goals, leading goal scorer goes out in the new year. Mm-hmm. Everyone picks up the slack. You can see from the interviews and some of the ones that they couldn't show.
There was some bad language.
Yes,
there were very naughty. Unfortunately, Stevie, abhors it. It was, doesn't it, want anything it was, to do with bad language.
It was a goalkeeper, so you can understand.
Yeah.
But they did it with class, and they did it with style, and they did it a really fun way. And I think it's unbelievable credit to the club to go from a relegation spot when Xavi Alonso took over,
yep,
to winning the title. I can't think of another time, particularly with the team and a club, when your mantra is to the rest of the league, never Kuzin,
mm-hmm,
and then you absolutely run away. They were, you know, when you're showing those celebrations before the game, it helps when you have a 13-point lead.
Most definitely.
That definitely helps. But there was all this idea, too. 7 changes before the match, and then you go win 5-0. Hey, we got to win the title.
See, Bayer Leverkusen are not supposed to do that.
Correct.
They're not supposed.
Absolutely.
They're not supposed to be able to make 7 changes and still be a machine.
Yeah.
And I guess, I certainly know I was, that I figured, okay, they've had a fantastic start, they're playing some great football, but there's always going to be a dip where they may lose a couple in a row, or they may have a couple of draws, or they may have some injuries that are going to really hurt them badly. Nothing of that at all. It has been absolutely plain sailing because of the way they've performed every single game. The biggest argument you could have is that there's been a couple of games, three games where they've won the game with the last kick of the ball.
Right, yeah,
they've
right.
come from behind. But this is during a game. This isn't going through a period of time where you've struggled. It's just, they've just made it look so easy. And they've done it with a smile on their face as well.
Well, yeah. And that started to happen, Dan, because teams realized how dynamic they were. And there was a lot of criticism of West Ham in the Europa League game the other day because they just basically parked the bus. And they kind of had to. Yeah. Because the problem is if you don't, like Werder Bremen did today, with significantly less talent, tried to play heads up against them, you get smashed 5-0. So I think other teams have then played Leverkusen as the season progressed and said, you know what, we have to be conservative here against this team because they have so many pieces that can punish us. Mm-hmm. If we don't, we're going to take a number. And maybe it took them a little time to get that breakthrough goal. But they always seem, to Stevie's point, to find a way to get that breakthrough goal.
How the Bundesliga needed this, Jan?
Desperately. And I think we have to give a bit more of the background because we were going to crown some champions now in the next couple of 2 months. But, I mean, for 11 seasons in a row, Bayern Munich have done beer showers down at their stadium. I've been with you guys for 4 years. We've always said at the end of the season, maybe this year, maybe next season. And we expected that to be Dortmund, but they couldn't do it again. Mainz at home. We maybe expected it to be Leipzig, because Leipzig had the potential. But then Bayern took away their players, took away their coaches. And then Bayer Leverkusen, of all clubs. Of all clubs, I mean, they can win the treble this year, but up to now, they've been They've been well known for the treble they lost in 2002 when they lost everything. And that's what Casey's talking about, this Leverkusen, because they didn't have the winning culture. So here he comes, Xabi Alonso with Kara, the CEO, Simon Rolfes as the head of sport. And they kind of take the best out of what they've been good at Leverkusen is to recruit players. Mm. So they sell Diaby to Aston Villa. They reinvest that money. They take a chance in Boniface. It's two cruciate ligaments. They take Xhaka, who is not a typical Bayer Leverkusen signing because he's an older player, but he needed to get him in. Hoffmann from Gladbach, a good football player, and Grimaldo for free. And I haven't even started yet talking about when they took Florian Wirtz from Köln for €200,000. And there were a gentleman's agreement between Köln and Leverkusen. They shouldn't take away their players. So this is a consequence. And I think that this is also, I don't like those words because people can say, well, this is a factory club and they don't have to think about shareholders and all that kind. But I think it's a win for football that the club that is built up like they do, that they've done a great job in terms of recruiting. And when we're talking about scoring at the last kick of the game, just shows you the team spirit. Archie was talking about Frimpong about that. I mean, that club, I guess, got the best team spirit of all clubs in top five. It's easy to say when you win things, but we've seen it all through the season when they're coming back, not only in the Bundesliga, but also in the Europa League, when they've always managed to come back, support each other. Seven changes shouldn't be allowed, should it?
Who's been the best player for them, Jan?
Well, I think that you have to say that the best players in terms of numbers, Florian Wirtz, all competition, is his 17 goals, 18 assists. You can go through their team. We can talk about the Xhaka, what Xhaka is doing. But Florian Wirtz will be like the superstar with Musiala coming up the Euros. But you also have a defender in Tah. We don't speak a lot about him. Tah has been at the club for some seasons. He has been okay, but not more. Now he's the hope of German football to help the World Cup. But did Florian Wirtz? Oh. You see, Steve is saying, just gives the goalkeeper an eye. In 22 goal minutes, he scores a hat-trick coming on. I mean, and he's back from injury, by the way, a long injury that nearly cost him a whole season.
Are we going to have a summer of speculation about where Wirtz is going to go, i.e. Bayern Munich, Jan?
No, we won't, because the guy who he will depend on his career, because he's a quite intelligent guy, he got a good people around him, the guy named Xabi Alonso has just said that I would stay at the club for at least one more year, and Florian Wirtz will be there playing Champions League. I can already see today in the German press, they say, well, we will take Florian Wirtz if we can get him. I won't say the metaphor, the who I will take if I had a chance, but I still say there is no chance in the world that Florian Wirtz will leave Leverkusen. He will stay there and he will go into the Champions League with them in a new season.
Of course, so much of this success has been brought in by Xabi Alonso, and we'll be hearing from him later on in the show and talking about whether or not they can go the whole season unbeaten in Germany. For a lot more reaction on what we've seen in Germany over the last 24 hours, be sure to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to ESPN FC. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Incredible scenes on Sunday. Back-to-back defeats for Liverpool at Anfield. Of course, losing against Atalanta midweek and then losing at home against Crystal Palace to give their title chance a major knock. Jan Agafjortov is still with us. Stevie, how did this happen again?
There's not a straightforward answer to that, Dan, because in all the years that I've played, and yes, you tick Casey's on, whenever you have a performance midweek as bad as it was, the only thing that you know is going to happen is there's going to be a reaction. I have never seen a team as good as Liverpool react in the way they did, because they came out of the blocks, the whistle went, and all of a sudden they're defending. That's not how you start this game. And to put your finger on that is really difficult, because I cannot imagine that Klopp has done anything other than before the game, collectively, individually, gone round them and given them a rocket to make sure that right from the get-go, we get after this team. This is a team that's probably safe,
but
actually is down the bottom of the table. So they shouldn't take an awful lot of persuading to collapse if we get after them. It didn't happen. That's the biggest surprise to me. And then when you start like that, I said it the other day, when you start slowly, it's very difficult to get going. And as much as we've shown all the chances, they weren't through great football. Liverpool didn't play any football today.
Why not?
Bad decisions. Bad choice of pass. Putting the ball in the wrong place. Passes going astray. I mean, on two occasions today, a pass was put out of the field behind the player going. Liverpool, under Klopp, are a team that got everything spot on.
So are they tired? Do they lack confidence? What's going on?
You know, I spoke about it last week, about form, as far as the front players are concerned. And again today, the ball fell to the front players and they couldn't put it in the back of the net. Lack of form. And when you've gone through the types of performances and results that Liverpool have, it does start filtering through the whole side. And you have to think that there's a bit of second guessing going on. And with the second guessing going on, again, there's a domino effect. Everything becomes harder. And then it just siphons through the whole side. And that's what we saw today. From the first minute to the last minute, chances, yes. Opportunities, yes. But football, no.
Well, but then what's supposed to be the difference maker? The difference maker is supposed to be, you paid a big transfer, you're paying a large salary for this core of players that, player for player, are better than Crystal Palace's player for player. And at some stage, one of those guys is going to do something that is the real, and then we all say, oh, that's why they're paying this guy. Okay, collectively, they're off a little bit, but somebody was going to rise to the occasion. And to Stevie's point, you just don't have it.
What really surprises me, though, is we can talk about Arsenal having never been there. Large majority of this Liverpool side have been there and done it and won it. And that, I guess, would be maybe where the problem is. That players who have been there and done it have lost that edge of confidence.
You say that, Stevie. There has been quite a bit of rotation since you won the title. You think Salah, Van Dijk, still the spine there, along with Alisson. There are a lot of new faces.
Goalkeeper, centre-back. I mean, come on. And again, that's what we... When we talk about putting a great team together, you need a mix of everything.
Right.
And everything they've got is that. It's a mix of new, with Nunez, and the old, with Van Dijk at the back. So it is absolutely has to be down to second-guessing, which makes everything you do harder, which makes an easy pass just a little bit harder. And then by the time it gets to a difficult pass, you can't do it. you've taken too long, you've second-guessed yourself, and then you decide to do it, it's too late. You don't get that amount of time.
Go on, Jan.
Now, what we've learned this weekend is the following, that there could be twists and turns, and we're going to talk more about the championship or which what consequences this weekend could have. But what we've seen this season is if you can't have a top team without having a top goal scorer. And I'm not saying that. We've talked about all year long about Arsenal. Arsenal is scoring enough goals. Liverpool scoring enough goals. But the main thing is, when you see the great European clubs, is as you have a number nine who scores you to 1-0. You score when the goals get tough. If you take Liverpool weeks, there's Manchester United, that they had 10 chances. Today against Crystal Palace, yes, I'm with the boys. Maybe not the best play, but they still created 10 chances. And let's be honest, Nunez is not a top class striker. Diaz is not a top-class striker. They are great players. They are fun to watch. They got energy when they're on top of the game. But they're not the goal scorer that you will say, yeah, they will get me 20, 30 goals. No chance. And when Salah now is not putting the chances away, Liverpool go down there. And then there is a lot of reasons why they didn't play well today. I saw the game. You could say that the Spritzigkeit, there were no energy in their play and everything. And maybe, like Steve is saying, Atalanta game could play into this. But I just think that this weekend you saw how both Arsenal and Liverpool are lacking that 1-0 striker. That striker who knows you give you that goal. And that happened against Manchester United. It happened against Crystal Palace for Liverpool.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sunday saw another significant result in the title race. Arsenal losing at home against Aston Villa by 2-0. What does it all mean when you take a look at the table? Good news for Villa, who are now 3 points clear of Tottenham Hotspur. Of course, lost it against Newcastle. But it means that Manchester City are now top of the table. Arsenal fall to second. Liverpool third. Why did Arsenal lose? Well, maybe it's because Xhaka Hislop was there. Xhaka, talk us through the game. Were you surprised at the performance Arsenal put in, given what happened in the Liverpool game and what was at stake going into this clash against Villa?
Yeah, I really was. Listen, walking into the game, I'm going with a few friends, a couple of whom are Arsenal fans, and the Liverpool game finishes just as we're kind of making our way around, and all the Arsenal fans erupt, singing for Crystal Palace. And I say then, listen, this is a defining game for Arsenal. If they win today, Arsenal will go on and win the title. If they don't, they don't win the title. And I felt a lot of that pressure told in Arsenal. I thought they were very good in the first half, control the game. Yes, the Ollie Watkins chance, but that was all Villa had to offer, and that came of a defensive mistake. And then the second half was just the total opposite. Villa dominated the ball, passed the ball around at the back wonderfully well, and just drew Arsenal in. And at no point did it feel like Arsenal were playing their way back into it. And that was a huge surprise. And as the game went on, you just kind of felt that there was something in store for long periods. Yes, you thought it would pan out to be a nil-nil. But as the second half drew on, even though you're thinking nil-nil, you're thinking, I don't see Arsenal winning this. And that's exactly what happened. And then all of a sudden, Leon Bailey comes off the bench. A little bit of a surprise substitution. I thought Zaniolo was the less effective of the wingers. I thought Diaby was really good in the first half. But then he pops free, scores the goal. Ollie Watkins, who had not run into a channel all game long, all of a sudden just shrugs aside Smith Rowe and very cool with the finish. And as that second half went, it was fully deserved for Villa.
Xhaka, the Arsenal fans that you were with, were they surprised, given the magnitude and what was at stake for this tie, that he made the changes that he did? We've talked about so much how Kai Havertz is a much better player for Arsenal when he's playing up front. Jorginho offers that protection. Declan Rice goes forward. But he reverted back to type, a type which has shown to be vulnerable this season.
Listen, it absolutely was odd. And let's keep in mind, Villa played on Thursday, Arsenal played on Tuesday. So I'm really not sure. And then Havertz is such a polarizing character, and as is Jesus, in all honesty. And we're talking about lack of finishers, certainly on today's games with Liverpool, and similarly with Arsenal and Jesus and Havertz. I thought in spells during the game, Havertz link-up play between midfield and Jesus was really good. But whenever Havertz got the ball in and around the Villa box, it was flat. I mean, his performance was flat. The feeling in the crowd was flat. Jesus, similarly, that it was almost, if they scored, it would come as more of a surprise than any kind of expectation for both of those. And we're talking about a team that, well, intended to be top of the division. Mm. Yet, you don't have a goal scorer that even fills your own home stadium with any kind of confidence. And I thought that spoke volumes to where Arsenal were. A lot of the changes that Arteta made otherwise, it was bemusing. Maybe he expected a more flat Villa. Maybe he expected the Villa that he got in the first half all game long. I think there's also, certainly in the stadium, there's a feeling around Arsenal and second half performances and late goals in particular, that maybe it was coming, but I listen. I'm no Arsenal fan, but I didn't share that optimism. I just felt that between Havertz and Jesus, they don't have a goal scorer.
Jan, you haven't been shy in blowing your trumpet. Huh? I proved you all wrong. Kai Havertz is worth all the money. He's come in. He's going to lead Arsenal to this title. And you've been absolutely right. When he's playing up front, obviously he offers so much more than playing in this midfield position. We know that. Why doesn't Arteta know that?
First of all, I'm glad to see Xhaka being at the hotel room in London, as I'm home. We always have to have one there. I think that Kai Havertz is best when he play up front. I mean, as you were saying that I've said who led him to the title, I've just said that he will do well for them in that position when he plays up front, because that's the best they have at the moment up there. You have players who score goals, and then you have goal getters. Only Watkins is a goal getter, and he's been that for that season. So that is that thing between. But I think, boys, that there will be a lot of twists and turns yet. I mean, it's just 2 weeks ago we said that Manchester City were gone after they couldn't beat Arsenal.
No, we know,
at home.
We know, Jan, there's going to be twists and turns. And I don't think anyone thinks everyone's going to win out. But this is Arteta absolutely dropping the ball in a big game, isn't it?
Absolutely. And he did that, and it just needs to be said, as we haven't talked about it, a great performance by Villa. I mean, Emery's coming back, doing a former Arsenal coach. He was a bit, I'm not saying bullied, but it was a bit criticized for his way of doing it. He came back with a good plan, and it took them. And Arsenal were warned today before they got the goals. But yes, this build up on that thing that Arteta doesn't take his team, he doesn't take his performance in the big games when you're getting there. When you're getting into, I always love to talk about my months, when you come into April and May, then you'll see who teams are there. Manchester City did that this weekend, but I will think that there's a big bonus for them that both Arsenal and Liverpool against Aston Villa and Crystal Palace will lose. Could lose points, but losing, that was not an Arsenal performance that we expected. And that was just a kind of showing that Arsenal haven't come that far. But again, I think there are some games left, and we shouldn't go in the same trap now and say that Arsenal and Liverpool are gone in the fight for the title.
Why is he doing it, Stevie?
And this is the question I would love to know the answer to. When you're the head coach or the manager, whatever you want to label it as, you need people around you who are able and have got the stomach to, when they think you might have been making a mistake, tell you. I would love to know if anybody in Arsenal's coaching staff turned round and said to Arteta, why don't we leave Havertz where he is?
Yeah.
He's the guy that's been putting the ball in the back of the net. Why don't we leave him up there? Why are we changing? We're in a great run of form. He's in a great run of form. He's scoring goals. Oh, and by the way, when we've played him in the middle of the park, he hasn't done a good job for us. Has anybody in Arsenal's coaching staff got the stomach to turn round to Arteta and say, Gaffer, I think you're making a mistake? Because it doesn't seem like it. Because I don't understand why you take somebody who is in the best form they've been in for goodness knows how long, not just at Arsenal, but in Chelsea, and you move them. That's meddling, if you ask me.
Is he thinking about Bayern? Like, what's going on? Because it's Villa. It's not Luton. It's not Sheffield United. Right. You know that Villa are going to come and they're going to push you. So why make the change? Why not stick to your winning formula?
I never understood the changing for change's sake.
Yep.
I think we all understand if there's players out and you have to kind of, hey, can you do me a favor for a couple games? And can you move in this position? But that really wasn't the case. It was almost like a case of, I'll show you.
Too clever.
I can overthink this. And again, to Stevie's point, yeah. Hey, what are we doing here? What is always the key to the best teams? The best teams, particularly at home, are going to say, when Stevie, some of your, all conquering Liverpool teams, are we going to change at home?
I mean, we knew what the team would be.
Yeah, yeah.
You get in a position where you're winning,
yeah.
And what the team is, and you know what it should be as well.
Yeah.
It's one thing to respect the manager and you love the manager and the whole thing, but we all as players know who should and who shouldn't be playing.
If I'm at Leicester and we're going to Anfield, we might have to change some things. Yeah. If we play them heads up, we're going to get stomped. But Liverpool aren't going to look at Leicester and go, oh, hey, I better move McManaman here. No, we're Liverpool at home now.
This is what we do.
This is what we do. And, we'll make adjustments because we got a great squad. We got players. If things are going wrong, we can bring him in here and we can do that. But before the game, if I'm Arsenal and I'm in the run that I'm on and I'm playing against a good Villa side that obviously needs results for Champions League, but I'm not going to be thinking, I'm not going to overthink it. Not until I have to.
Yeah. Shaka, did what happened in the Liverpool game, how did that affect the crowd going into the start? You mentioned you were taking your seat, everyone's chanting for Palace. Did that set the expectation too high, too early in the game? Then did that kind of resonate within the stadium?
I certainly think it raised expectation within the stadium from the fans' perspective. No question. I mean, all the noise before the game, and it was loud coming into the stadium, was because of that Liverpool Palace result. And then all of a sudden, and we've made this point on the show many times before, it's a lot easier to chase than it is to lead. And I just wondered how that would affect Arsenal, knowing that Liverpool dropped points in the way that they did coming into this one. And it was really odd to kind of not see Arsenal kick on at any point. As I say, they dominated the first half, but then once Villa kind of got a grip on the game in the second half, there would never really seem to be a response. It was a complete role reversal, and the difference between Villa and Arsenal is that Villa have goal scorers to use Jan's terms. Arsenal have goal getters, and they just didn't have the ball in those kinds of positions to really go out and create something, And then all of a sudden, Villa, because of who they have at their disposal, get the goals that their second half play fully deserved.
The easiest thing that Arteta's got is to look at this game and say, well, I made a mistake and I'll play Havertz up front next game. The tougher decision he's got, or the tougher thing he's got to think about, is what happened in the second half. That would be the biggest worry.
Okay.
Because this team,
because that's out of his control a little bit. Is that right?
Well, he's got to figure out why. You're at home, you've got a big crowd behind you,
yeah.
You're 1-0 down, you want to be top of the league, I mean, every single thing points towards not producing wonderful football or any of the niceties of the game, but the guts and the courage and
we'll
the
get
will
you over the line
and the desire and the energy but to get after it. It completely disappeared.
If you saw
that's the biggest
save
worry.
After save and post and mischance and mischance, but Xhaka, no, you're saying Villa came in and outplayed him the second half. And that's the worry.
Go on, Jan. Don't say twists and turns.
I will say twist and shout to the Beatles. But I will say that when we see the three teams there at the, up front, I mean, we are discussing now, should he have done that with Jesus? Should he have done that with Havertz? Liverpool, they didn't look like they were have the energy. They had both. They had a game against Bayern Munich, being then Arsenal, Atalanta, on Thursday, Liverpool. And then you saw Manchester City. They went to Madrid. They had a 3-3 game there. But they have still managed in this period to rest players. They were at it today, or yesterday. They were winning six, scoring six goals. Their energy there. They have been game that been Foden has been on the bench. De Bruyne has been on the bench. Haaland has been on the bench. And so on. They even managed to winning without Rodri. Maybe this is the breaking point of the season now, where you see that the broader and the bigger squad could be the decider for the title in the Premier League.
Xhaka, what was the resounding feeling from the fans as they left the stadium? Well, apart from "Don't ever come back here, Hislop."
listen, it was a sense of deflation, in all honesty, because again, you come into the stadium with such expectation right before kickoff, and to leave not just losing or not felt that you kind of gave it away, but that you just outright lost the game. There was nothing to leave there feeling, you know, hard done by. And I feel that was a tough part. That was a tough part from an Arsenal perspective, that there really was never any kind of a response. You can go behind, but you always, good teams respond. And there never was that response from Arsenal. And so just kind of, as you make your way out to the stadium, it was just that sense of, hey, here we go again.
Let's take a look at the odds then. Manchester City are now the clear favourites to once again win the title for a fourth time in a row. Of course, never achieved before. How things have changed over the last couple of weeks. Ooh. After that draw between City and Arsenal, Liverpool winning against Brighton, Liverpool, of course, are favourites. And what happened last weekend, Arsenal take the charge. But now, Manchester City with six games to go, 5-2 on. Jan, you think this is done and dusted? No twists and turns to come?
No, I don't think it is. I've been with Liverpool and I've said that I got a feeling that Liverpool would make it. But yes, this week has changed a lot, of course. But I'm 100% sure that this is not over with. You can have a look at the goal difference as well. They're coming up some tricky games now. Do you remember? I changed now from twist and shout to tricky.
Yep.
There come some tricky games coming up now. So this is not over with. And you can see Manchester City, they're doing well. And maybe they get into that gear that they had last season. But they are also, they also concede goals. They also have some games, so this is not over. I can still see Liverpool and Arsenal being up there, and I think it's too easy to say that this is done by now. It's just to win six games in a row. If there is one team who can do it, it's Manchester City, but I don't think they will win six games in a row.
And that is the fascinating part of this whole title race, given that there are still six games to go, Stevie. Mm. Where do you stand from a Liverpool point of view?
Well, I'd have to say, if Arsenal had won, then I would have... Liverpool were done. I think Arsenal getting beat sort of somehow in my brain pulled Liverpool back into it.
Okay.
Because the fact that it's still only 2 points. So
away from home, are you okay? We've talked about away from Anfield.
No, absolutely.
You're being your concern.
No, absolutely. Listen, after what we've seen from Liverpool, not just today, but against United and how they can't put the ball in the back of the net and how they give up so many chances. I would be disingenuous of me to turn around and say, well, Fulham, Everton, West Ham away, we're going to win those games. Because you just can't say it. You can't say that with any confidence. And so if you're going for a title and you're playing three teams that on paper you are comfortably a street ahead of and you're not quite sure you're going to win the games, There's no way I could turn around here and think that Liverpool are going to win the Premier League.
Shaka, we've heard that Arsenal and Liverpool fans are pooling their finances together to send you to every Manchester City game now. in the end of the season. Who's going to push City more, Shaq, out of these six remaining matches, Arsenal or City?
I think it'll be Liverpool. Who's going to put City more? Arsenal. Yeah. I think it's going to be Arsenal are going to push City more. I think Arsenal, I've said this before, Arsenal, when they're playing at their best, are playing the best football in the league. I just feel, given what you've seen from Liverpool of late, and Stevie's right, good teams do not put together the string of results and performances that you saw from Liverpool against Man U, against Atalanta, and now against Palace. So I really do feel that Liverpool have kind of dropped that baton. I know it's between for me Manchester City and Arsenal, and ultimately it comes down to goal scorers. Now, for all the praise that we've had for Arsenal, Sydney, I've had for Arsenal, and how good football they're playing, this may very well come down to who has the best goal scorer. And for all the criticism around Manchester City, 2 weeks ago, people were saying, nobody on our panel, I admit, was saying that Erling Haaland is no better than a second division player when he's not scoring goals. But now, all of a sudden, given the choice between Erling Haaland and even this version of Erling Haaland and a Gabriel Jesus or Kai Havertz, you choose Erling Haaland. And for all the criticism we've had around City, Haaland's poor performances, De Bruyne sulking when he's brought off, they're sitting top of the league, and it's hard to look past them at this point.
Just one last thing, Jan, as I've got you here, I just want a word on the Bayern Munich game outcome, because, of course, significant news surrounding the Bayern team going into that Champions League clash on Tuesday. No Kingsley Coman, he'll be out. He got injured at the weekend. No Gnabry either. Davies is suspended. It's going to be... There's so many different narratives, aren't they, going into this game. Arsenal losing at the weekend, Bayern Munich losing the Bundesliga. How is all this going to affect these two teams facing off, of course, with it 2-2 after the first leg?
I think it will affect Arsenal more, to be honest, because I think that goes on confidence. Even the home game against the Bayern Munich team, well, at that point, and I'm saying this is a week ago, not only a week ago, that at this point, this is the only thing they got left of the season. They have to do this. And if you go through man for man in that team, there are enough players who have the quality when they are asked upon to do it on the last chance they have this season. And I think that this result with Arsenal, the big job now for Arteta is to get that confidence back. Well, to forget that 2-2 game against Bayern, try to forget this loss at home against Aston Villa, believe in what it is, a solid defence, creating a lot in the midfield engine, so to say, a Havertz playing up front and so on. But I got a feeling that Bayern Munich will use this chance to save some of their season after they're seeing Bayer Leverkusen celebrating like five games before the end of the season, the Bundesliga championship.
Last thing, Shaq, before I let you go out into the London nightlife. Aston Villa, of course, you saw them in the flesh, saw them get the victory. We saw Spurs horrible yesterday against Newcastle. Mm. Villa favourites, and rightly so, to finish top four.
Absolutely. I think Villa have all the makings of a really good team, and you saw that. I think one of the other things you truly appreciated about Villa and the totality of their performance is, one, Emi Martinez is an incredible goalkeeper. I have to get that in as a member of the Goalkeepers Union. And Unai Emery, two ex-Arsenal personalities, Unai Emery, I thought, not only set Villa up really well, but tactically how they managed and kind of come up, fronted up against Arsenal on the day, I thought, again, he got that right. So I'm backing Villa to at least get into that fourth spot. I don't see them getting any higher, of course, and I certainly don't see them dropping any lower.
What's the plan then, Shaq? The trademark, hit slot, night out, no sleep, straight on the plane?
I'm exhausted, Dan. I'm going straight to bed. I had a tough, had a long tough day today. Straight to bed.
Yeah. Don't worry. We will convey that message to Mrs. Hislop. Thank you very much, Shaka. Much appreciated. Thank you for your time. Have a safe journey back. Just a reminder, Shaka coming back for a huge weekend of soccer here on ESPN Plus. It all starts at Wembley, Manchester City against Chelsea in that FA Cup semi-final, and then 24 hours later, Coventry City take on Manchester United. You've got the Clásico as well, Real Madrid against Barca, plus the little matter, Borussia Dortmund against Bayer Leverkusen, Bayer Leverkusen's first domestic game, of course, after wrapping up the title in some style.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
When Xavi Alonso took over at Bayer Leverkusen, they were two places off the bottom of the Bundesliga. Fast forward to today, where they are crowned Bundesliga champions, the first time a team that wasn't named Bayern Munich that have won it in the last 12 seasons. Let's hear from Xavi Alonso himself.
Xavi, I'll start simply. You are a Bundesliga champion as a coach. How does it feel?
Well, it feels great because I have the feeling that this is not just for us. This is for so many people that have been chasing this dream for so many years. I have in mind the old coaches, Christoph Daum, Klaus Tuchmüller, Roger Schmidt. They were here and they are part of it as well. And for me, it's so great to bring success and to be part of this success with this team. It's always special when it's the first time of everything and when it's the first time of a Bundesliga title. That is the most difficult title probably. It feels great, and I'm so happy to enjoy it with the players, with the fans, with the club, and so many people that deserve to really, really enjoy the moment.
It's easy, this coaching arc, isn't it, Jan?
Said it again. It's easy to...
Xavi Alonso's made this look easy. Come in, take him through. Yeah, up, there you go. Bish, bash, bosh.
Let's put it this way. It makes it so easy to be a coach as it was as a player. I mean, he everything looks easy then as well when he played for Bayern Munich, Real Madrid or Liverpool. What it is, by when you see a winning team like Bayer Leverkusen, you can say that the team kind of mirror the coach. His team with a great attitude, good balance, always concentrated, always wanting the ball, always calm. I have had the pleasure a couple of times to work with him this season. And as Archie will probably confirm 100%, he is the nicest guy to make an interview with. He is just there. He is for you. He gives you the impression that just in this moment, you are the most important man that I will talk to from all my life. And he will do this with like 10 people the same day. And I think that it's like the players as well. You feel that he is there for you, and how he's rotated his squad this season, doing changes, 7 changes now, going to the Europa League, changing again, Patrick Schick in the team, out of the team, Florian Wirtz today out of the team, and always getting goals at the end of the games. That just shows you that Xabi Alonso has managed to take his attitude, his personality, to affect his players, and the player and the team look like Xabi Alonso.
So then, first manager ever to lead Bayer Leverkusen to victory in the Bundesliga. Could be the first manager ever in the history of the Bundesliga to take a team unbeaten. How difficult is it to achieve that? And how much are you bothered by it if you're a player?
I don't know.
Like, how motivated are you?
Well, I think you're motivated. I mean, I think that we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks exactly how motivated. The European tie, that's easy. Mm. But you're going to play against a Dortmund side in the match after you clinch the title. It's... It's almost like it happened too early.
A lot will depend on the opposition.
Yeah.
Well, because whatever you say, regardless of, you know...
So, for example, you got Dortmund away next weekend.
Yeah, regardless of the opposition, there's an edge missing.
Yes.
If you play for Bayer Leverkusen. There's
right.
The edge of that bit of pressure. That extra bit of pressure is what makes you be at your best if you're a real player.
Right.
And when that edge is taken away because you don't need it, then for me it becomes... It depends on the opposition. Because if the opposition are at it, it becomes way harder.
OK.
And so the fact that it's Borussia Dortmund next week will depend on how Borussia Dortmund see this.
Well, and Dortmund are fighting to get into Champions League. They're out of the Champions League spots right now.
So they bring that edge. They bring that edge.
Yeah, they have to bring that edge.
So how much does wanting to be unbeaten give you an edge? Does it? Is it? No. That's where I was going. That's why I was trying to...
No, it's all about the psychology of what's left. And that's why I said that I think it's more on the opposition. If they've got a good... I don't know who they play after Dortmund, but if they're playing against teams in the middle of the table... Then there's an opportunity to go undefeated.
Yeah, your talent will rise above that.
Yeah. If you're playing against teams who are fighting for survival or fighting for a top four spot, then it changes the whole dynamic. Psychologically, Bayer Leverkusen players will have lost an edge the next time they play in the Bundesliga.
Now, the part where it helps Leverkusen a little bit, not helps them on that edge, because that edge is 100% true, is you've got a big enough squad. And you have some really important games coming up where you're still not sure if you're going to be playing or not.
Right.
So you have to make sure every time you step on the pitch that you better perform, because there's clearly someone that isn't playing that is performing and has an argument that they should have been starting. Mm. So there's enough internal competition that is still keeping enough of an edge, but psychologically it's impossible.
Right.
There's a reason why in individual sports – world championships aren't broken at just the random meet somewhere. They're broken in when three or four people in the same field are all fighting for a single, and that rises you to the occasion. And if they're able to do it after clinching this so early, the mentality that has been instilled from Alonso is truly spectacular.
Jan?
Yeah, but I think that there are three things now for the rest of the season. It's the Europa League. They have got a good start now with West Ham. And then there is the German Cup, and then it's going unbeaten. Of these three things, to go through the season unbeaten is number three. And then you can see the only thing that can ruin somehow Leverkusen's season is that the last game of the season is the Pokalfinale, the cup final at home against Kaiserslautern, third level in Germany. That is the only fear. So I think that what the boys are saying is right, of course, but it's also down to how can he strengthen the performance culture at Leverkusen to say that you won't be a part of the final and Europa League if we come there. You won't be playing for 90,000 or 80,000 there is in Berlin at the last game of the season. The Pokal, the FA Cup, is a big, big thing in Germany, so they can take the double. That's why I'm saying that to be unbeaten, that would be a consequence of their performance, of the performance of the day. Do I think that they will? I think that it's perfect now to go to Dortmund, the first game after they won the championship. Because when you go to Dortmund, you get so much for free because you always want to do well there because the atmosphere is fantastic.
Jan, great stuff. Jan will be back with us, by the way, on Extra Time to answer some of your questions. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel. More analysis, I'm sure, tomorrow as well, about Bayer Leverkusen winning the Bundesliga. Football America's drops, of course, tomorrow. Be sure to check out the latest edition. I'll be discussing what happened in NWSL plus MLS. Goodness gracious me, what a show. There's still more to come, though. Jan has been waiting patiently to answer your questions for Extra Time, which is coming up next.
You think Shaka's already out?
Oh, Shaka is partying. Don't you worry about that. Don't listen to this, I'm going to bed early nonsense. Xhaka, of course, was with us earlier on in the show. He brought his curse to Arsenal. He was at a game against Villa. Jan Agafjortov, unlike Xhaka, very much professional. Jan, not going out tonight. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm home, so if I go out now, I will be in trouble, wouldn't I?
Yes, you will. Well, that's not to say that Xhaka might be in trouble on his return home, whenever that might be. Stevie, over the years, Liverpool have lost the title in various ways. Which hurt the most? God, this is a nasty tweet to put in. 1989 against Arsenal, Gerrard's slip against Chelsea, or today being beaten at home versus Palace?
Oh, no, 89.
89 was weird, wasn't it? Because, am I right in saying on goal difference, you were still better?
We could have lost 1-0 and won the league. But we lost 2-0 with the goal in the last minute of the game. I mean, does it get any worse than that?
It's incredible. Right. To have a league end in that way, in that fashion, in that manner.
You couldn't write it. For the neutral, it's incredible. For the TV, it's incredible.
Yeah.
For Arsenal fans and players, it's incredible. Unfortunately, for Liverpool, complete opposite.
There's always.
And for those who don't know this story, it was Michael Thomas who was the hero, scoring that second goal, who incredibly then signed for Liverpool and joined your team, despite being the man who cost Liverpool the title.
Yeah, I remember somebody asked us that question. Oh, it might have been last year. How did we feel when he joined us?
Yeah.
Footballers are strange.
Yeah. Well, yes, I know. I've worked with enough of you.
I was going to say, you clearly figured that out.
Yeah, and we, you know, what happens the next day is the only thing that matters.
Really?
Well, because you have to brush things off. You know, there are so many ebbs and flows and ups and downs.
Well, and he was doing his job for his team. Right. That's nothing to do with it. There's no personal vendetta. He's just trying to win
the
game.
The fans, though, can't have been as easy to sway.
But, no. I don't remember Michael ever saying, and I certainly don't remember hearing anybody that supported Liverpool have anything bad to say to Michael. No, you move on.
I had a night out with Michael. Very funny. But that's for another Xhaka story.
You understand him?
Yeah, you can understand him.
His nickname was Lester. Because there was a famous jockey in England called Lester Piggott. He's not. You couldn't understand what they said. And so Michael's a bit like, so we called him Lester.
Will Xavi's decision to stay prevent a Napoli-like regression next year, Jan? Or do you see the potential loss of key players such as Verse or Boniface curbing their abilities to succeed next year? It's Xavi Alonso, of course.
Yes, but I think that the key is that Xabi Alonso is staying, because we're seeing a lot of clubs how important the manager is or the coach is, so we shouldn't underestimate that. But I will also say that Bayer Leverkusen is a very well-organized club, and they've already shown now the recruiting before this season, which is one of the keys to their success. Remember 18 months ago when Xabi Alonso came there, they were down, and now they're winning the championship, but the recruiting has been sensational. So what Leverkusen got to do is that they need to have a coach. I think every sporting director need to have an alternative lined up. Not like some of these processes we're seeing different clubs, where they have five coaches who are available or could be the manager, and they have all different philosophy. So what I've learned, what we learned by Leverkusen, is that if they find a coach, they will try to look for someone who have the same leadership as Xabi Alonso. Having said that, we've seen big clubs like Manchester United struggling doing that, and Liverpool will be a big challenge doing that now. Should they go for a Klopp look-alike that is not easy to find, or should they go all the way the other way around?
Stevie, a year ago, Liverpool fans would have taken a Champions League place and a piece of silverware to call the sixth season a success.
Right.
With our hopes of the league being completely out of our hands, should we be looking at the season's success, a failure, or both?
Don't go in the trap, Stevie. Don't go in the trap.
He's heading there.
He's heading there. He wants to go there. Go, Stevie. Take your time.
All I see is Liverpool's success should not be on just winning the Carabao Cup. Let's put it that way.
So if they don't win any more silverware, it's been a failure.
I'm not going to use the word. I'm going to say that Liverpool's expectations and standards are more than the Carabao Cup. Let me put it that way.
So what word would you use?
And they should
for the Liverpool Echo who are watching.
No, they should be. The Liverpool's expectations and standards shouldn't be winning the Carabao Cup makes the season a complete success.
I can't remember, Dan. I can't remember. I heard a story last week, and maybe you could help me. There was this manager who was asked a question. He said, I can only say one word, thank you. And I felt... I think that's... There was Steve and we're going there now.
Thank you. Casey, who's wasting their career more? Being a number two? Kayla Navas or Aaron Ramsdale?
Well, I mean... Kayla Navas's career is near the end.
He's old, isn't he?
There's a point. There was, you know, I think there's certain situations as a veteran goalkeeper you would say, you know, I think I'm okay being a backup in this particular environment.
Yeah.
But Aaron Ramsdale is 25? Yeah, I mean...
No idea. Yeah,
So yeah, there's a point where he clearly is going to have to, there's going to be with his agents, with the club, with everybody, try to figure out what the future is, because he needs to get himself into a situation where he's playing week in and week out. And I think a lot of us were as surprised as most that was a direction that they went in to change their goalkeeper. It didn't seem like that was one of Arsenal's biggest worries at that time.
Yeah. As we're driving down this road,
yes.
What do you do if you're Keller?
Oh, I have to play.
You'd leave it over.
Yeah, I'd be leaving for sure. I mean, I had that. I had that at Spurs.
Right.
You know, Spurs had made a decision at the board level that they wanted to be young and British, and I was neither.
Who did they bring in? Aurelio Gomez?
Yes. Yes. Paul Robinson. We had a lot of conversations, and I had the opportunity to go to Gladbach in the break and wanted to go play. And in all honesty, to go to... I loved the experience of being in different countries and different fans, and to have the opportunity to play it against all the clubs in England, to be the first American to play in Spain, and to have, you know, to play at the Bernabeu and the new camp and all those great things, and then also to have then go, hey,
yeah,
come back to England, then go back and play in Germany and have those experiences. I was fortunate enough to play in one of the last games at the Olympic Stadium for Bayern Munich and played in the first league game in the Allianz Arena. So to have those kind of cool experiences was...
It was good that Spurs were anti-American. That worked out well.
They were not anti-American.
Well, that's exactly what you said.
but yeah, there is that situation. I didn't want to... Maybe later,
right,
when I was older, to say if it was the right club, I would have said, you know what, I'd go sit on the bench at Real Madrid for a season, or I'd go to...
Difference here, though.
I almost went to Bayern Munich.
Right.
But otherwise, I needed to play.
The difference here, though, is Kaylor Navas, the decision was in his hands. Ramsdale, it's not his decision to sit on his backside.
Sure.
That's the difference.
Does Arteta regret not...
Hey, that was a sure... I get we go to the next question.
I don't know why you have to add that point. Yes, moving on.
Sorry, I should have checked the clock.
Come on. I got the Masters to watch. Does Arteta regret not going for it more against City now, Jan? Their boring part-the-bus effort seems to have backfired. Had they beaten City, they'd still be a point above them today and still top of the table. Did Arteta and Arsenal celebrate prematurely as per usual? Oh, dear.
Well, first of all, I don't think we pundits or experts shall look away how our analysis was done as well at that game, because we could do both. We could say, OK, this is a top game in England. Arsenal coming there. They have 25% of the ball. Yes, they defended well. And yes, Manchester City didn't create a lot of chances. But after that game, we all said, wow, they all grown up. Arsenal will go for it now. This is the key moment. So Do I say that they should be going differently? I think that is too easy for us to say. We've discussed in the show, should he go for Havertz up front or should he keep Jesus out of the team, put in Jorginho in to make a bit safer? Had he won against Aston Villa, we would have said, wow, Arteta showing so much skill, being a great strategist to change the team around. So now I think that's too easy, that Manchester City game gave that away. They came to Etihad to avoid Manchester City to get 3 points, and they're succeeding doing that.
This is a really harsh question, but there we go, obviously. There's a lot of harsh people out there. Is winning one league title and one Champions League in 9 seasons good enough for Liverpool, given the personnel at its disposal? I feel like Klopp has been disappointing when it comes to winning big titles.
There is two ways to look at that and to answer that. Because unless you live in Liverpool, support Liverpool, are involved in Liverpool, to win the title after 30 years is absolutely huge. Mm-hmm. You saw Leverkusen celebrating today?
Yep.
I mean, the whole Leverkusen, I don't think there was anybody else in their house. They were all at this game. So
that's a bit of a spin. I think health and safety reasons.
If you want to, you could spin it a different way and say Klopp absolutely achieved the objective of why they brought him in, was to win the Premier League after 30 years.
Oh, okay, now I'll...
That's one way of answering it.
And I'll say to you, I mean, for someone that got to England in December of 1991 and was used to the 80s Liverpool sides.
Yes.
If you had told me when I got to England in December of 1991 that it was going to be 30 years before Liverpool won another title, you would have meant there's no chance. Yeah. Nobody in England thought that was
Stevie
a possibility.
Left and it all,
well, that was it.
And it all crumbled.
And the revolution were...
To that point, to spin it in a positive way, if you had asked any Liverpool fan and said, right, Klopp's coming here for 9 years, and I'm going to guarantee you in those 9 years we're going to win the Premier League, they would all have taken it.
Yeah, exactly, as Manchester United fans would now.
As they would right now.
Jan, did you want to say something?
No, I'm just saying that Stevie knows Liverpool. We are jealous and see how Liverpool were doing because they were a fantastic, fantastic team. But I think that for people from seeing this around the world, just have to notice what Liverpool is about. And Stevie is too shy to say Liverpool is so much more than this just being a football club. This is Liverpool. This is the life of Liverpool. This is the blood of Liverpool. And Klopp comes in there being the leader for the Reds. And if after 9 years you have a Champions League and a Premier League, that is great. And we also have to put him at the same time, he had to play against a fantastic manager and a fantastic club called Manchester City and Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, a standard was set, and a standard so high. And everyone's kind of looking at that with jealousy and going, look at what Man City have been able to do.
Speaking of Liverpool's success, just watching the scenes today at Leverkusen bring back any fond memories, Stevie, when you won a title or a cup?
It's kind of strange because, as you said, in the 80s, it seemed normal.
Love it.
We didn't win it this year, but we'll surely win it next year.
When I joined in 81, they were European champions and champions of the league, and the expectation was that's what should happen. And so when it happened, everybody was... I mean, it was great, but it wasn't... It wasn't what you saw today.
Because
it was normal.
Right.
It wasn't Leicester winning in 16.
Yeah, it was a normal thing. So, yes, you were delighted, but... I mean, that's why the stories come of Ronnie Moran. Like, 20 minutes after you've picked the trophy up, you get in the dressing room and, you know, that's you done for the year, and he turns around and goes, right, OK, well done, said, but unfortunately, we've got to start again. And don't be late on June, whatever date, pre-season training. Because it was like, enjoy it for the moment and then move on.
We are going to move on now. We'll say thank you very much. Thank you, Jan, for staying up late for us. Thank you, Casey. That's your last day
with
us.
You're welcome.
Right back. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
As always,
thank
much appreciated. Plenty of twists and turns to come between now and the end of the season, Jan. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back with you tomorrow. Chelsea Everton. Oh, game full of high quality. Can't wait to look back at that one.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.